Hello, Dan. It's Brother Michael. I just got your message, and I just wanted to share a couple of quick words with you. First of all, praise the Lord that you care about Jesus and you recognize a lot of the other teenagers around you do not. Okay, it's really not anything to do with the age group, I promise you. It's the same for me. I'm 47, you're 19. But when I look around me, no matter where I'm at, I don't see anybody that has that burning heart for Jesus, what A.W. Tozer called the Burning Hearts Club. And so it's really not an issue of age, although it should be that young people have more capacity to seek after the Lord. The Bible says to bear the yoke while you're young, and how can a young man keep his way pure as to fear the Lord and obey his commands? You are going to have a very serious challenge, my friend, because you have a lot more years, if God wills it, to live in the dark of this world than somebody like myself does, if God wills it. And so things are going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. You got to understand this. We're not living in the days where the gospel of Christ and the spirit of Christ is easily transferred like a pandemic is. The real pandemic that's been transferring from person to person is darkness. It's all over the place. It's invading the hearts and minds of everybody, even those who call themselves Christians. And this is what the Bible said is going to happen. Just go read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and you'll find that it describes perfectly the teenagers that you see at your church that really bothers you, why they're not taking an interest in God, why they're always on their phones, why they're talking about everything except for God. It's because they're godless. And I have to tell you, I have a pretty negative, almost a spiritually pessimistic view about the world we live in right now. And I really believe it comes from Christ and from the Word of God that says you should not have great expectations for there to be a massive change in the spiritual temperature around you. You should not have the expectation that suddenly, either from you or from the Lord or from somebody else, that people are suddenly going to become on fire, that there's going to be this revival and this turning. No, my friend, there is not going to be. There will be a few people here and there that come out of the darkness, they come out of the lukewarmness, they come out of disobedience, they come out of unbelief, and they really start to take God seriously. There'll be a few, just like there always has been. But you shouldn't get your hopes up. And you should know that what you're seeing is going to be the normal, and it's going to become more and more normal the farther down this road we get. So what is the answer? The answer is you get your heart and your right as right with God, and your heart and your life rather, as right with God as you possibly can. You almost have to be a little bit selfish. And that is this. You have to make sure you come unto Christ first. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. And Jesus speaks a lot. It's all about an individual's relationship with the Lord. You see, in the old covenant, it was all about all of y'all, meaning all of the Israelites. God dealt with very few people individually. In the new covenant, it's entirely individually first. And that's the most important thing I can help you understand is John the Baptist is all alone. He's not in a, quote, church. He's not in a Bible study. He's not in a group. You will find many of the people that God uses remain alone for a long period of time. Paul, he's in jail. Moses is on the backside of the desert. Joseph is in a dungeon. Okay. Daniel is in a lion's den, and he's in Babylon surrounded by, you know, godless pagans. John is on the island of Patmos. And there's so if you ever become a servant to the Lord, you can expect to be isolated more than most. All the prophets knew loneliness. But if you're not called into full-time ministry and you're just called to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength because you're a true believer in the Lord, there will still be a season of isolation where God wants to teach you how to hear his voice over all others. And God will begin to separate you and allow you to see the difference between you and everybody else, not so that you can look down upon them, but so that you can see you truly have been separated. You truly are living in the fear of the Lord as an alien and a stranger in this land, that you're not like these people anymore. And again, it's not because of you, it's because of the Spirit of Christ at work in you. So you don't get the big head and the pride. You always still see you're worse and just as bad off as anybody else, but you're better off because of Christ and because of his grace inside of you. So the big issue here is prepare yourself to get to know him better than you ever have. Put the mask on yourself first. Jesus said, whoever, speaking of an individual, has my commands and obeys them. He doesn't say that group, that church, that denomination, he says, he, the individual, is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him. And then Judas Iscariot said, but Lord, not Judas Iscariot, the other Judas said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my commands. He said, the man who does not love him will not obey his commands. He says, if anyone loves me, he'll obey my commands. And Jesus says, I will love him. He says, and my Father and I will come to him and make our home with him. Go read and study John 14, 21 through 23, and see how Jesus does not say, if any group of people loves me, if any family loves me, if any country loves me, if any denomination loves me. He doesn't say anything about any groups. It is now about an individual's walk with Jesus Christ. If anyone hears my words and put them into practice, he shall never die. Who is my mother and my brothers? It is him who hears the word of God and obeys them or puts them into practice. So it's very much an individual basis. And you need to get as right with God as you can and watch this. Then God can use you. And then in that group of people that you see that are lukewarm, God can use you. But be very careful about trying to, quote, go into ministry or do something for God until you are really walking in it. Now more than perhaps at any time in Christian history, it's more important for you to get your heart right with God and get your walk solid and get some evidence and get some rubber, if you will, on your rubber on the road, as they call it. Get some wear and tear on your spiritual feet so that you can know you are walking with God and you have him. Because let me tell you something. If you try to go after sinners unprepared, outside of God's timing, they'll turn you. Satan will eventually infiltrate and destroy you. If you get ahead of God, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. The whole Bible is about you being reconciled to God. And once you've been fully reconciled to God, then God can begin to use you. And I'm not saying he can't use you at all between now and then, because clearly he has. But don't go looking for it. Allow God to use it where it shows up. Don't go looking for it. I'm telling you the exact opposite of what a lot of other, what I would call false teachers will tell you. You cannot give somebody else something you don't have. You can't go talk to somebody about the need to give their whole life and heart to Christ and surrender fully and to walk with him until, in fact, you have. You can't go talk to people about the need to have faith and trust God until you have evidence in your life that you have. That's why I'm able, with God's help, to speak with such authority on all these subjects, because I have walked it out. It's like in the video I put out yesterday. I don't just teach the Bible. I'm actually living it. That's why the ministry is having this impact. That's why you're contacting me. Not because Michael Criswell is special. Not because I'm smarter than anybody. Not because I'm in the right, quote, church. But because I went out and found him and walked with him and learned his ways. And I'm still doing it. And out of that, the rivers of living water can come and help other people. So be really, really careful. Allow yourself to see all the half-hearted, all the frustrated, all the disobedient, all the fruitless hypocrites and stuff. Allow yourself to see those things and talk to the Lord about it. Give all of your anxiety to it about the Lord and tell him, say, Lord, I hate what I see and I'm frustrated about it. And God, use me in any way you see fit along the way. But Father, help me to get fully in you. Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You have to dwell in him. You have to be in him. John 15, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, you have to get in Christ. You have to have a lot of the fibers from your little branch attached to his vine. You see, and it takes time. Look at how long Jesus spent with the disciples before he started sending them out. Okay, it takes time. Give God a chance. And they walked with the literal Jesus Christ. So give yourself time. Give all your anxieties about what you see in the world around you to the Lord and enjoy him in the process. Learn to be a son. Learn to let your Father love you and teach you and learn how to walk with God. I'm telling you, the greatest gift you can give all those teenagers around, even if it's not until years later they see it, is a life lived before God in faith, where you have evidence that goes beyond just quoting a scripture verse. You can give them the verse and then say, then look what God did in my life. You can give them another principle in the Word of God and then say, look at what God did here. And those who have ears to hear, they'll come in here. Okay? Brother, God bless you in Jesus' name.